back to But Why the Podcast. I know we've been on a little bit of hiatus, but we're ready to start 2020 outside of our live episode with Sonic the Hedgehog. As always, I'm Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And since we all kind of like Sonic, it was kind of just a toss-up today on who was going to lead the notes, and it was me. So I'm leading us today, and my first question is, how many Sonic games have you played?
I think a better question would be, how many Sonic games can you name?
That's a better question.
Oh, gosh. Obviously, I played Sonic 1, 2, 3, obviously 3D Sonic. If we don't talk about the Dreamcast Sonic games, which by far, in my opinion, the best ones, only because I could also rag on Adrian about the Dreamcast again and its existence. Then when we get to the later games, I've played some of the ones that we had on the Xbox that they had, and then they were so bad that I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then I was like, I'm sorry, Sonic has died. I've also watched the cartoon that came out, and I guess it's not a game, but the cartoon exists, and it's actually not bad.
There's a lot of cartoons.
I'm sure they are, but I just remember the main one, I guess. I'm sure which one.
There were two cartoons at the same time.
Well, I remember one of them, and I remember it was cool. So the other one, I have no idea. It was a long time ago. We're going on, like, what, 40 years, almost 30 years of this stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. So I, for leading this episode, don't think I've played that many Sonic games, actually. Oh. But I've watched every single one of the TV series. That was something that I found out. But I remember playing the first Sonic the Hedgehog. And then I played Sonic Heroes. And then I played, was it Sonic, the one for the GameCube? Sonic Adventure?
Sonic Heroes is on the GameCube.
Okay, yeah, Sonic Heroes, but there was another one. I think it's like Sonic Adventure. And then I played Shadow.
Sonic Adventure. My brother. Well, I guess Sonic Adventure 2 was on the GameCube.
That's what it is.
I don't know.
Sonic Adventure 2.
So Sonic Adventures, I only played on the Dreamcast.
I did not have
one. Well, it's weird because it re-releases on like all of these consoles.
Everything.
So like you could have played Sonic on basically everything at some point.
Yes.
Pretty much. And then I played Sonic Generations for sure and Shadow. Because my little brother was like obsessed with Shadow versions of things. So, like, his favorite character was Dark Link, and so we played Shadow the Hedgehog, because we had to. I've also played Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, the most recent one, because I sucked at it, and it was on the Switch, and it was on a live stream at PAX West, and I was competing for the site's honor, and I backed out of the entire screen. It's very hard.
Played the first one of the, but I just don't really count those as Sonic games. Because, like, then you have, like, what, the Sonic Racing that he's in or something like that, too?
Yes.
Which I just never really cared for that either. But I am looking at this list that we pulled up finally, and I forgot that, like, there's some games that I did play that I'm glad I don't remember playing them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I didn't play very many Sonic games just because in like the 90s I didn't have the consoles to play Sonic. I didn't have a Genesis or a Dreamcast, but my uncle did, so I did play Sonic Adventures on his Dreamcast. So yeah, Matt,
I love Sonic Adventures on Dreamcast. I still have that game on my 80 minute CD that you burned.
But I think the first one that I played that was my own was Sonic and Knuckles, because I remember really liking Knuckles because red guy, probably. I enjoyed Sonic and Knuckles, but then I think I played Sonic Adventure on the PC when I got ported over, because like we had just gotten a PC, and I think that was like the first game that we had, and I played like the 3D version of whatever. So like I played a couple, but then after that, like, I just never wanted to use my money to buy Sonic games because there was other things going on in the 2000s that But I did watch the show. I think not Adventures, Sonic the Hedgehog, the other one.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I think it's just Sonic the Hedgehog, right? It's just the name of the thing.
They're the same thing to me. They just
Sonic overplayed. And Sonic.
Yeah, like I think Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog was like the one from like the 90s and just looked weird. But I think the Sonic the Hedgehog one was the one with a little bit more updated graphics. That's the one I used to watch when I was little.
I just like doing, as we go into the production history now, I would just like to say that I am Sonic years old. Because Sonic came out the same year I was born. So I am Sonic years old. This is the first time it's happened to me on this podcast. So, yay. but Sonic the Hedgehog, if you don't know, is a Japanese video game series and essentially a media franchise now that was created by Sonic Team and owned by Sega. The franchise centers on Sonic, an anthropomorphic blue hedgehog, which I'm watching Zumbo's Just Desserts on Netflix right now, and the New Zealand people all say hedgehog, and it makes me very, very happy. So, want to throw it out there. Sonic the Hedgehog. The franchise centers on Sonic, and he battles evil Dr. Eggman, who is a mad scientist. The main Sonic the Hedgehog games are platformers developed by Sonic Team, and other games developed by various studios include spin-offs in racing, fighting, party, and sport genres. The franchise also incorporates printed media, animations, and the 2020, which was supposed to be the 2019 feature film.
Which is kind of like, I'm assuming why we're talking about this, because that movie will be coming out in probably about a week or two.
Yes. So when it first started out, Sonic, as I said, was released in 1991 on the Sega Genesis and was developed after Sega requested a new mascot character to replace Alex Kidd. And Alex Kidd with two D's, never heard of that until I did these notes, and compete with Nintendo's mascot, Mario. Its success helped Sega become one of the leading video game companies during the 16-bit era of the early 1990s. Sega Technical Institute developed the next three Sonic games in addition to Sonic Spinball. And after a hiatus during the unsuccessful Saturn era... Ooh,
do we want to talk about the Saturn era? Oh man, that was so bad.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Saturn memories?
Oh, I don't have that many. I just remember it coming out. I never actually owned one. And it was like this very overcomplicated looking huge device. And then I never understood it. And people were like, I got a Sega Saturn. And I was just like, this looks way overly complicated than it needed to be.
I mean, I will say Sega had cool names. Saturn, Genesis, Dreamcast.
The Sega CD. Very simple.
After a hiatus during the unsuccessful Saturn era, the first major 3D Sonic game, Sonic Adventure, was released in 1998 for the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Sega exited the console market and shifted to third-party development in 2001, which allowed the series to come to Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation.
And then Sonic died.
Is that how that works?
Matt's not alone, though.
I'm not alone in this. Like, I might, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, I was reading the Wikipedia page and just, like, reading a few forums, and everybody was like, yeah, I remember when Sonic was good, and that was before he was available everywhere else.
Yeah, once he gets made available everywhere, it just kind of goes completely downhill.
And then specifically what they cite is the 3D.
Oh, no, yeah, it gets weird.
Sonic's 3D years.
Yeah, so the Dreamcast did it very well, in my opinion. I love playing them on the Dreamcast, especially the second one's really good. You get to use... with Shadow, and they have like a lot of like platforming, and like they almost incorporated some like Tony Hawk aspect where you're like grinding on rails as you fly across the city.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. But then they get to like the Xbox stuff, and it is awful. And I just remember Sonic Unleashed, I believe it was the one in 2008. That I was like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna like Sonic.
I remember that
and
one.
And I played to the fourth level, and I was like, this is the most awful thing I've ever seen.
I remember that one. Also, side note, is Tony Hawk Pro Skater technically a platformer?
I think it depends on whether you talk about
like,
the...
Like, could it be considered a platformer because of the grinding mechanics? I guess and you... then especially...
Like I said, it depends on which ones we're talking about. I don't know about the first two or three, but the... as you...
From four up.
Yeah, like I said, once you get to four up, you could probably make that argument, but I don't know about the first three. Because, I mean, I guess you could to some extent, but a lot of them are, like, contained of what you were doing. Either you did... There wasn't as much, like, openness in them.
What is this Sonic Unleashed game? This game looks ridiculous.
This game is awful. I played the first
four
levels.
Why does Sonic have big-ass arms for? I don't get it.
What was the rating on that game since you looked it up? I think it was like in the fours the last time.
I don't know. But this music for this is like...
It's a 4.2 out of 5. That's not bad. 96% of people liked it.
Which one?
Is this looks exactly like the Sonic that's used in the live action now. If you look at the cover of the game, actually. Oh, what are these huge arms? Yeah. Ew!
Why does he have huge arms? What? I don't get it. Why is he punching stuff like that?
Oh, he turns into like a werehedgehog thing.
Oh, so the funny thing about this is one of the ones that like on the backwards, it gets good reviews on the backwards, but on the new consoles it doesn't. So like a PS2, this game has a 7 out of 10, but then on the 360 and PS3, it has a 4 out of 10. Like same thing that has IGN. GameSpot has this game as a 7 out of 10 on the Wii and has it a 3.5 out of 10 on the 360 and the PS3.
So did you play it on the 360 then?
Yeah, I didn't play no damn Wii.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is one of the ones where we go through that weird era where they have, like, games being released on both platforms, and there's actually extreme differences between the qualities of games. Because, yeah, if you look at the, even the thing, like, the Metacritic score, it's like a 53 on the PlayStation 3, a 60 on the Xbox 360. I guess it tops out at a 66 on the PS2. I hate this game. It was terrible.
Yeah, it looks very bad. I'm not saying it looks bad. The big arm thing, I just don't get the big arm thing. And if Sonic goes into like a werehedgehog movie in the Sonic movie, I'm gonna lose my mind.
You don't want him to go werehedgehog and have these giant claw paws?
Yeah, like what is that? That's a scary hedgehog. It's a scary hedgehog.
This is a thing. Okay, maybe I didn't play Sonic Unleashed. Pretty sure I didn't. Because that's weird. So, while Sonic games typically feature unique game mechanics and stories, they're linked by several recurring elements such as health system, location, and speed-based gameplay. Oh my god. That's gonna be the photo, that's gonna be our featured image for this episode.
Yeah, please. Can it be? Oh my god. Because it's ridiculous.
While Sonic games typically feature unique game mechanics and stories, they are linked by several recurring elements such as the health system, locations, and speed-based gameplay. Games typically feature Sonic setting out to stop Eggman's schemes for world domination, and the player navigates levels that include springs, slopes, bottomless pits, and vertical loops. While Sonic and Eggman were the only characters introduced in the first game, the series would go on to have a large cast of characters such as Miles, Tails, Power, Knuckles, the Echidna, and Shadow the Hedgehog, who all starred in self-titled spin-offs. The franchise has also been represented across all of the Sega All-Stars and Super Smash Bros. Series.
Did anybody like any of the other characters?
I thought Knuckles was just another hedgehog.
No.
I didn't know.
Yeah. I just found out that he was not a hedgehog when I was looking at like Wikipedia thing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize he was like a whole other creature.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's basically a hedgehog looking thing anyway, if you look at it.
He looks like Sonic with long hair.
Yeah. He's an edgy Sonic.
Oh my god. Yes.
That's what Shadow was.
Oh, yeah, that's so. No, Shadow is an emo Sonic.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say goth Sonic at first. But
oh
yeah, I mean,
Is
he a vamp kid? Is what we need to
figure out. Oh my god, echidnas are adorable. I looked up one of those. These are the most chunky, fluffy babies.
Did you not know? Okay.
No, I thought.
His game isn't called, you know, Knuckles the Echidna. It's Sonic and Knuckles. That was the game.
But Tails is a hedgehog, though, right?
I don't know what Tails is. Tails looks like a fox that had Tails a split a tail.
I thought Tails was a fox.
I thought it was a fox.
Big tail.
Split.
Oh yeah, no, Tails is a fox.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I didn't. Well, the funny thing is, you go Miles Prower, and I was like, "Who's Miles?" I was like, "Oh yeah, they call him like
Tails."
See, he's not called Miles. It's Tails.
Oh god. So, not gonna lie, all of these anthropomorphized animals are actually kind of creepy when you Google search them, because then you get people's versions, and I don't like it. And the internet was a mistake. So, the first, but why though, is really the mechanics, because the mechanics end up kind of similar to how we talked about it in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles come out, and then so do geriatric gerbils and things like that.
Yeah.
So the mechanics are extremely important to the game. So Sonic the Hedgehog games are characterized by speed-based platforming. Controlling the player character, the player navigates a series of levels at high speeds while jumping between platforms, avoiding enemies and inanimate obstacles, and collecting power-ups. The series contains both 2D and 3D games. 2D entries generally feature a simple control scheme with jumping and attacking controlled by a single button and require the player to simply reach the level's end. Meanwhile, 3D entries are more open-ended and feature additional level obstacles, as well as abilities to upgrade and customizable playable characters. Most of the games since Sonic Unleashed blend 2D and 3D gameplay, with the camera shifting between side-scrolling and third-person perspectives. Do you have a favorite of these, Matt, since you played, like, everything Mr. Dreamcast?
The Dreamcast ones? I think they do great. No, because the Dreamcast ones, they kind of do the reach the ends, but I do remember you could do a lot of, like, opening up in a way that... I guess it's the moving of it, because I know when I came back and played the Xbox ones, they did some of the ones when they tried to blend it. They would have, like, because I don't even remember if this was the Unleashed one or if this was a Sonic, the one from 2006, but, like, they would go to, like, advanced speed mode of Sonic thing, and, you, like, they try to speed up everything as you run, and it was awful. And it was a terrible thing. The 2D ones don't bother me. I think they're fun. I mean, even playing in the, I'm sure everybody played the, like, when you're at, like, a casino, like, the casino stuff, which is cool. But the Dreamcast one seemed to hit the perfect blend of what they were doing. And then, like, you do get introduced to, like, kind of, like, additional, like, level objectives. You had, like, the ability to kind of upgrade. They even did where you had, like, other characters got to kind of be highlighted and they didn't kind of take over the game. Because you had, like, especially in the Dreamcast one, you played, like, Sonic had his own storyline. Tails had his own interwoven storyline. Knuckles had its own storyline. I think Amy, I believe, the other one had its own storyline. And then Shadow had its own storyline. And then they had a robot, I believe, somewhere in there as well. But they all kind of made, like, they kind of had their own little storyline that all wove together. And kind of as they told the story, you connect it and you jump back and forth. And it was pretty cool. And they had their own unique ability to do stuff. And it kind of, like, started solidifying up what they were doing. And then I don't know what the hell they started doing on the other ones. It was just weird.
So I guess, like, one of the things that I'd be... Because I have... Or I think the biggest memories I have are kind of with the 3D ones. But, like, I love platformers. Like, that's probably, like, one of my favorite game types. Specifically because of Lara Croft.
Mm-hmm.
And 2D platformers are really hard for me. Not hard, but, like, they're... Like, I much prefer 3D platformers. So it's really interesting, like, hearing you talk about the older games and then hearing how much people prefer 2D Sonic over 3D Sonic.
Well, one of the main things that I do know, the big complaint, at least from me, was the camera angles end up becoming the most horrible thing when it came to 3D platforming.
Oh, that, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. And that was, like, I don't know if, like, they ever officially got that done, but just, like, trying to get that 3D perspective of trying to do a platform. Like, when it's a 2D, you can see your platform, you jump from platform to platform. But the way they did the camera angles, because we talked about this before of, like, that old behind the back static camera type thing before they got the Vance, like, rotational camera. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of screwed up a lot of platforming type things.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. I could see that getting frustrating then.
Because we seem to make the videos that are fun where you, like, walk one part and then your camera's here and then, like, you take two steps and all of a sudden the camera jumps to another angle. Yeah. That was a lot of that.
So the most distinctive mechanic in the Sonic series is collecting golden rings, which are spread out throughout levels, which act as a form of health. Players possessing at least one ring can survive upon sustaining damage from an enemy or a hazardous object instead of dying. The player's rings are scattered. In most Sonic games, a hit causes the player to lose all of their rings. Although in certain games, a hit only costs a set number of rings, such as 10 or 20. When the rings are scattered, the player has a short amount of time to go and recollect some of them before they disappear. In many games, collecting 100 rings usually rewards the players with an extra life. Rings have other uses in certain games, such as currency in Sonic Adventure 2, restoring health bars in Sonic Unleashed, and improving statistics in Sonic Riders. I don't know what Sonic Riders is.
I know what it is, but never bothered to play it. I just never cared to play it. It went to, I don't know.
It looked like I said earlier, levels in Sonic games feature elements like slopes, bottomless pits, and vertical loops. Springboards are also scattered throughout the levels and catapult the player at high speeds in a particular direction. Sometimes they allow the player to proceed further in the level, while other times they're used to hinder their progress. Progress in levels is saved by passing checkpoints, and checkpoints serve other uses in various games, such as entering bonus stages in Sonic the Hedgehog 2 or leveling up in Sonic Heroes. In the 2D games, checkpoints take the appearance of posts, while in 3D games, they're little gates. Many Sonic games contain multiplayer and cooperative gameplay, beginning with Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And in some games, if the player chooses to control Sonic and Tails together, a second player can join at the same time, at any time, and control Tails separately. Many of these also feature competitive modes, where two players compete against each other to the finish line in a split screen race. Did you play these with your brothers?
I did play some of them for the most part with them. Not as much as I think. I know the Dreamcast ones. I know I played with friends, and I think it was kind of like we played because they did have like kind of the co-op type, like, and they had a weird like battle modes and stuff too. Depending on your characters, you had different types of stuff.
Battle
mode. Well, because like I'm gonna tell you, Knuckles is like one of the modes you had. You basically dug, and so you had to find like treasures, and so basically you had to fly around the maps and you would dig, and so you could find the most treasures based on like what you were doing. Whereas Sonic was always running. Knuckles was finding things, and I don't even remember what Tails did, but each character had their own, like, unique skill set, and so they each had their own unique, like, types of what you were doing. So if you wanted to race, it wasn't always necessarily, I mean, you could do it, but it wasn't Tails versus Sonic every time. It was kind of like,
yeah,
especially when they did, like, the Sonic Adventure 2, when they split them up where you had, like, the mirror characters, because you had, like, a Tails, or you had, like, the Shadow versus Sonic, and so, like, those two would race against each other. And then I don't remember who Knuckles had against them. Him. He's somewhere at the robot or something. No, the only ones I do remember, especially when we come to 2D and some mechanics, the worst thing of playing Sonic things, the old levels, was the water levels. I hated the stupid little water when the water rise. If you ever wanted to go like...
Everybody hates water levels.
I know, but that stuff was like, you got that music, it was like pink, it was like goo looking stuff, and you're like, I'm gonna drown.
I'm actually trying to think of a water level that I've liked in a platformer, and I don't think there really is.
All I know is if we're talking about like why you hate water stuff, probably we can start going back to Sonic somewhere in there. I hate it.
Why you never get in the water?
I hated those levels.
Yeah, you probably can't think of a good water level because you're not a crazy person. Like, there are no good water levels.
So the next but why though is really just that there's so much Sonic. Like, there's a lot. And when we look at like how long Sonic has been around, which is a really long time, it's almost 30 years, at the same time it's a lot for how long of a lifespan it's had when you look at other franchises that have kind of been around for longer or within the same period. So in 1991 you have Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 in Mega Drive Genesis. What is that? Sorry. Okay. I'm gonna restart. Sonic the Hedgehog is Sega's flagship franchise and one of the best-selling video game franchises, and it sold 89 million by March of 2011, and it grossed over 5 billion by 2014. The sum of series sales and free-to-play mobile downloads totaled 920 million by 2019, and several Sonic games appear on lists of the greatest games of all time, and the series had influenced the internet and pop culture. But this is where you come into, there's so much Sonic that you have the dark years of Sonic, which Matt said when Sonic died, apparently to a lot of fans, is that that began the variant gameplay styles that were found in recent 3D games because it strayed from the formula of the original game. Specifically, the series' jump to 3D has been noted as the declining point, as I mentioned earlier, and in late 2010, Sega delisted several below-average Sonic games, such as the notoriously disliked 2006 game, Sonic the Hedgehog, to increase the values of the Sonic brand after positive reviews of the game Sonic Hedgehog 4 and Sonic Colors.
So much as we talked about Sonic Unleashed and how it was crazy and we got Big Arm Sonic, that 2006 game, I just don't even know if you want to talk about how bad that was.
I want to talk about it.
No, that game is just terrible. And I think that I can't even remember like which, because those two games come out almost back to back, like in like a 2 year span, like Sonic, and they're both just awful.
Ooh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Is he saving a princess?
I don't even remember what they did with all of it. I just know it was. Like I said, some of these get clouded memories of, like, amnesia of, like, I remember how bad these are, and so I just talk about the Dreamcast over and over again. That, and I've also, I still own that game, and it's still one of the games, like, when I used to reboot my Dreamcast up, I would still play it. At least the second one, because I don't remember what I did with the first one.
He does, he saves a princess.
Yep. He's skateboarding.
This is really weird. And then you have, like, oh... Who is that the girl Sonic? The girl Sonic with bat wings.
Oh, it's a bat.
Girl.
That's a literal bat. Sonic that's
bat wings.
What's her name? Rogue the Bat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of creepy. Like,
in the weird part, you get like a lot of other characters. You get a cat, and then there's like a cat. There's like a rabbit. There's another hedgehog and another hedgehog. It's just weird.
I just want to know why these animals are all very different animals from very different families, and they have the same face, face and the same ears. This bat looks like a hedgehog with wings.
Yep.
Also. Why is there a sexy anthropomorphic hedgehog bat in Sonic?
Rule 34.
I don't like it. It reminds me just like the titty turtle in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I don't like it. This is just weird.
Yeah. Very weird.
I actually like the characters they used to have, and then they went to, I don't know what the hell they were doing. Yeah.
And you get Big the cat, who doesn't even look like a cat.
I forget that
Big
she
the Cat? Is that the pink Sonic?
No, Big the Cat, I think he's actually...
Oh, he's kind of
no,
cute!
No, Big the Cat, I think, is actually in the Dreamcast games, if I remember correctly.
He's kind of cute. He kind of looks like a loth cat. The ears and the face. But he is very big.
Cream the Rabbit?
Amy Rose, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's who when I said oh, Amy... Yeah.
But this is also just weird, because if you look at Amy, she looks perfectly fine. A normal childlike character.
Yeah, no, Amy was cool to play with.
And then you have sexy bat hedgehog thing.
Hey, man, Rogue the Bat's very sex positive, all right?
I don't like it.
I liked Amy's character. She was fun to play with. I mean,
Amy looks cute. Amy fits with like everything else.
Yeah.
And then you have Rogue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have like this weird thing of like, we have like Knuckle, Tails, and Amy, and then you have like a robot, and then you get to like even Shadow kind of leads the way, I guess, to this more edgier stuff, as we called it in Rogue the Bat. Are you starting to understand like what happened?
Yes, I'm starting to understand the descent. Okay, so in 1991, you get Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 in 1992, and Sonic Spinball in 1993, all on the Genesis. And then you get Sonic CD in 1993 as well. Then in 1994, you get Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Sonic and Knuckles in 1984. And in 1988, you get Sonic Adventure. In 2001, you get Sonic Adventure 2/Battle.
See?
Then you get Sonic Advance. in 2003.
There's a lot of these. We're going to be here.
Yeah, we're going to be a while.
Sonic 2003, Sonic Mega Collection, Sonic Heroes, and Sonic Mega Collection Plus.
I think everything dies right here.
2005, Shadow the Hedgehog. 2006, Sonic the Hedgehog.
We were talking about Shadow the Hedgehog where they bring in like guns and he's like carrying a bazooka, I believe.
Oh, gosh. Yes, he is. Yeah. The cover he has. Yeah, he has the big old gun.
Yeah. But yes, you can keep going.
Yes. You have two Sonic the Hedgehog titles in 2006. Then 2008, you have Sonic Unleashed. 2010, Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing and Sonic Colors. 2011, Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing and Sonic Generations. 2012, you have Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed and Sonic Jump. 2013, you have Sonic Lost World. 2014, you have Sonic Boom, Rise of Lyric, and Shattered Crystal. 2018, you have Sonic Mania. And then in the Mario and Sonic series, you have Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games 2007. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games 2009. Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games 2011. 2013, you have Mario and Sonic at the Sochi 2014 Olympic Games, and so on and so forth for Olympic titles.
Yeah.
That was a lot of Sonic.
So I'm assuming. Are we getting? So we got the 2020 ones last year, correct, for the Olympic Games?
Yes.
Yeah, because we have the Summer Olympics this year.
Mm-hmm. In Tokyo.
The Mario and Sonic series aren't bad. I just don't. They're just kind of weird because it's kind of like they combined them together, and it's kind of just Olympic Games that they happen to have Mario and Sonic in it. But no,
yeah.
All these other ones I played, like I said, up to probably about Unleashed. I'm not gonna say I've never played like a racing one, but I just don't care because it just reminds me of like knockoff Mario Kart. But no, all the rest I have no idea. I gave up. Yeah. Adrian, I don't know if you tried any new ones, but there you go. That's my extent.
No, definitely not. I think these like Olympic games and like party games just try to bring back like what Mario Party did back in the day, and it just doesn't work well. Like even watching Kate play the game during the stream, I was like, this game doesn't look that fun.
Except it looks.
I don't need Tails doing backflips and gymnastics, and it just doesn't look as fun as party games should be.
Yeah, no, it looked kind of fun to me at least. Obviously not bad, but like I said, it's just kind of like you said, it's something else that they happen to throw these characters in there and not like an actual unique game.
Yeah, and the bad thing is that because they're doing it for every Olympic thing, they're just going to keep making them, it seems like.
Well, I tell you right now, people keep buying them.
Yeah.
But that being said, cultural impact, which is the other thing. So with all of those Sonic games, you also have to look at the other Animals with Attitude games that happened. So primarily because of the Genesis bundling, Sonic the Hedgehog ends up being one of the big reasons as to why that console takes off in North America. And between October and December of 1991, the Genesis outsold Nintendo for the SNES by a 2-to-1 ratio. And in January of 1992, at peak Sega, they held 65% of the market for all 16-bit consoles. And although Nintendo eventually reclaimed the number one spot, it was the first time since December of 1985 that Nintendo wasn't leading the console market. And then during the 16-bit era, Sonic inspired similar platformers starring animal mascots, including Bubsy, Arrow the Acrobat, Acro-Bat, James Pond 3, Earthworm Jim, Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel, and Radical Rex.
Telling you, man, when we talked about this for like the Ninja Turtles, it's a little bit harder to talk about like with the games because I don't think they had that effect on the games. But God, man, like all this anthropomorphic animal, just put some letters together, see what you get. I swear they just put names in a hat, like this animal with this thing. Boom.
And the only
because Radical Rex is just a T-Rex on a skateboard. It looks like. What is this?
He's radical, Adrian. I will say Earthworm Jim is the only one I know out of those.
I actually knew Radical Rex, but that was outside of Earthworm Jim, but that was it. Even though I kind of want to learn about Zero, the kamikaze squirrel.
And then, of course, the Animals with Attitude game genre ends up going into the 3D era with Crash Bandicoot and Jex, both citing Sonic. That makes a lot of sense, and I never thought about it, because I was actually a huge Crash... Like, I liked Crash Bandicoot more than both Spyro and Sonic.
Same.
Wow, I'm offended right now, but okay.
Yeah, I did. I
mean, Crash Bandicoot is just more fun,
it's
man.
It's good, but, like, compared to, like, some of the older Sonic and Spyro, I love Spyro.
Crash Bandicoot is amazing.
I mean, I like Spyro more than I like Sonic, too. I mean...
I don't know, I think Spyro...
It's basically the same thing. You do ring stuff, but... You get to be a dragon. If I had the choice between being a dragon and a hedgehog, come on.
It's one of those,
man.
I think I like.
I'm picking a dragon every time.
I like Spyro better in their design and everything, because obviously you are a dragon, but I think I've had more fond memories of Sonic because I've played more and there's like more of him. But I think that would be.
I think it's also because like those were at like your youngest years, probably. So like those, of course, have better memories.
Considering there's how many Spyro games compared to how many Sonic games, though?
That's fair.
Yeah, but it took a little bit longer for Spyro to die.
I mean, I don't know. I think it took less games.
Well, when you're putting out Sonic, another, pull an adjective out of the hat game.
Yeah, no, I mean, because I mean, I know Spyro had the first two. I know I played the first two. I don't know if I ever played the third one. But I know the first two are really good. And I know they have, like, that trilogy, which obviously got re-released last year. And then I think after that, I think they have some games, but I don't know if anybody ever knew they existed.
Where does Banjo come out in this?
When does
Banjo-Kazooie?
Yeah, he was about 98. I love Banjo-Kazooie, too.
I don't think I ever really played Banjo-Kazooie.
I like Banjo-Kazooie. It's, like, one of the first games I had on the 64.
So we're getting into, like, peak sports game time with 98, so I didn't really care about Banjo-Kazooie. Didn't have time for that. I had like 25 sports games I could play before they died.
But you get to be a bear, and then you get to have a red bird as your friend.
I mean, I'll take the red bird.
Yeah, Kazooie was dope.
I liked the Ooga Booga mask in Crash Bandicoot.
So the weird thing, the weird thing we do skip over here, I think because the character is older, but doesn't Donkey Kong, like the actual like older games like that everybody remembers come out during this 90s phase too? Okay, I know the character I believe is around.
Well, no, so Donkey Kong came out in 1981.
No,
but that's a very different style.
No, what I'm telling you is the character himself is out older, but the games that everybody know Donkey Kong for.
Oh, like Donkey Kong Country?
Yes, those all come out.
I remember Donkey Kong Country.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I believe those come out exactly the same time period as all of this. I know Donkey Kong.
You're talking about when Donkey Kong got good.
Yes. When Donkey Kong became its own character.
Donkey Kong Country is 94.
Yeah.
On the NES. But Sonic is outselling, you know, Donkey Kong at this point, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Well, I think they do,
but... Sonic outsells them until...
I think 94, though, right?
Yeah, 94.
Which is the year that Donkey Kong comes back. And he's more than just, like, the end of Mario. Whatever game that was.
Yeah, because you get to ride a rhino in that
one. Yes, you do. But no, I was just bringing that because I know Donkey Kong, the character, is older, but I think when Donkey Kong gets good and when everybody remembers Donkey Kong games 4 is the same period of 94 or 95 or whatever, that we have all these animals just riding other animals doing weird stuff.
Yeah, that's a weird part, right? Because he's basically not anthropomorphic, but he's like definitely a human-ish kind of, and he's just riding rhinos and doing all kinds of stuff to other animals. It's very awkward.
I actually, when you like break down a whole bunch of these anthropomorphic games, it gets really weird when you think about all the things that they do. So I prefer not to do that. Because
Rogue the Bat.
No! Rogue the Bat is awful.
I think Rogue was the Sonic or Knuckles opposite mirror.
What do you mean?
Remember I told you they all, or maybe it was Tails, but I'm pretty sure. So remember I told you they all mirror each other?
Oh, yeah.
In Sonic 2.
So wouldn't she just be the mirror of Amy?
I don't think she was, to be honest. I could be wrong, because it's been so damn long, but might have to look it up. But I know, because I could have sworn she was either one, because it looked like she, she was a bat. She like flew. Amy, pretty sure, didn't fly. Yeah, so you have the hero side and the dark side. You have Sonic. Yeah, it was Knuckles. So you have Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails. And then you have Shadow matches Sonic. And then Rogue the Bat matches Knuckles. And then Dr. Eggman matches Tails. I was like, I could have sworn that she matched...
How does Dr. Eggman match Tails?
Because he flies around in that little ship.
Oh. Adrian, no!
Look, I'm only posting that one because I think Rogue is just there because of Japan.
So look, so here was the multiplayer in the second game. Like I said, you had shooting, racing, treasure, and like battling. Like it wasn't just like race. So the treasure hunting one was you'd be Knuckles versus Rogue. And then the flying one or whatever.
So beyond all of this, going into cultural impact, by 1992, Sonic was considered more recognizable to children than Disney's Mickey Mouse.
The good days.
In 1993, Sonic became the first video character to have a balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade.
That's super cool, actually. That's insane that Sonic would be the first one.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge.
And it wasn't Mario?
Yeah. It wasn't Mario, it wasn't Pikachu, it was Sonic. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. And then Sonic was one of the four characters inducted into the Walk of Game in 2005, along with Mario, Link, and Master Chief. And the Walk of Game is like essentially a Walk of Fame, but for video game characters in San Francisco somewhere.
Can we also
it's not terribly important?
Can we talk about it took Master Chief only 4 years to get in?
Yeah.
Excuse me. What was it? 99 or is it 2001? It is 2001, isn't it? Or 2000? My bad. 5 years to get in, or whatever.
Yeah, this is a weird thing. There's only, like, 2 years in it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's just funny because, like, Mario, Link, and Sonic have been around for, like, at this point, like, at least 15 years or at least a decade. And Master Chief's like, yeah, showed up here a few years ago. He, like, Terrell Davis his way into this thing.
they just did it for 2 years and they stopped doing it? What is this? Like, they did 2005, Mario, Link, Sonic, Master Chief. And then 2006, StarCraft, Lara Croft, Final Fantasy, EverQuest. And like, then they just didn't do it again.
Those were the only good games that ever came out, Adrian. We were done.
It just ended right there.
Games are over with. This is all that's good. These are what being
deserved. Oh, you know why? It's because it was like a Sony thing, but Sony sold the people who were doing it or something like that, so they stopped doing it after that.
Oh, that's actually kind of sad.
Yeah, that 2006 year is very weird. StarCraft. Lara Croft, Final Fantasy, EverQuest is weird.
It's kind of weird.
Sid Meier and John Carmack are also in that year.
Huh. Okay. Well, under the cultural impact, but why though? I wanted to say sciencey things. Because there are three science facts that people have used Sonic the Hedgehog in. And so one class of genes involved in fruit fly embryonic development is called hedgehog genes. And it was named after Sonic the Hedgehog.
And I actually knew this because I actually had to grow fruit flies for genetics.
Additionally, a Japanese team developing the radio and plasma wave investigation instrumentation for the upcoming Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer spacecraft to be launched by ESA and Airbus in 2022 was able to gain Sega's approval to use Sonic as their mascot. And then neuroscientists studying the development of the embryonic neural system named a specific set of proteins in charge of the differentiation of neural tube cells after the main character of the game's franchise, Sonic. So Sonic gets science love.
Yes.
Which also explains why Matt loves it.
Well, no, it's not even that. We've talked about this before, depending on how many years we go back and we're on episode 128, that if you look up like random names of genes, that a lot of scientists pick a lot of pop culture things, including video game characters. That genes are just named after. They started with the fun things when they started with like the Greek gods and the Roman gods and everything else. And then I guess they used all of those. And so they started going to random pop culture things. So, but no, the fruit fly one I did know because basically in genetics you had to do the entire life of fruit flies. So basically we had to breed them they only last for, like, live for like 14 days or some weird thing, and you had to identify what you could do and see the different types of fruit flies you could get, because they had different because you would mix it with, like, because they were the easiest way to do, like, Punnett squares, but in real life testing.
Yeah.
Because the life cycle was short, they had very unique, distinct characteristics. Because you'd have, like, ones with wings, wingless, and then, like, certain types of wings, I think. And then, obviously, you had, like, male, female.
Wingless?
Yeah, wingless. They wouldn't have wings. Oh. Wingless.
Kind of sad.
Well, I mean, they only lived for, like, 14 days.
Oh, that's... And now I'm sad.
That was, like, not like they had a long lifestyle. But, yeah, so it was, like, a semester thing of, like, you would do it for, like, a good, like, few week thing. And you would basically test out Punnett squares. You're looking at genetic stuff of...
So, outside of science, Sonic is known for its eccentric and passionate fandom, which produces unofficial media including fan games, fan fiction, modification, and ROM hacks of existing games, films, and art. US Gamer noted that many fans have continued to support the series in spite of poorly received games like the 2006 Sonic the Hedgehog, and credited the fandom in maintaining public interest, and a lot of that is due to the fan-made games, which I'm going to list to you below, after the sequel, which fans made in 2013, and it's set between the events of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and 3, Sonic Dreams Collection, which satirizes the series fandom, and Sonic Mania's development team, which, so Sonic Mania was a game, and then Sonic Mania's development team included individuals who had worked on Sonic ROM hacks and fan games in the past, while Izuku said that character customization system in Sonic Forces was implemented specifically because he wanted to give Sonic fans the opportunity to play as their own original characters. I think one of the really cool things specifically about Sonic Mania bringing on a dev team that worked on hacks and fan games, it's really cool because it's actually what you see a lot in the MOBA space, how people would make, like Dota essentially started off as a fan thing and then it became an actual thing, and then those people get hired to go do other things.
You mean a mod?
Yes. I couldn't remember the word. I couldn't remember the word.
Yeah, that AD, yes, it was a mod. Fan thing.
It was a fan thing! I couldn't remember the word. I had a brain fart. It's allowed.
Yeah, don't look up Sonic Dreams Collection.
No, don't.
That is a weird game.
It's a fan. Like, that's a fan thing. So yeah, fans make a lot of things. And then they also make memes. So the series has inspired a whole bunch of internet memes, but the most... And they, some of them have been acknowledged by Sega and referenced in-game. The best, or the most well-known one, and the one that Sega has kind of run with, is Sonic Hedgehog. Which is a poorly drawn Sonic in Microsoft Paint, which originated in 2010, and it typically is used when a Sonic uses Sonic's catchphrases, but in poor grammar. The Sonic Twitter account has made numerous references to it, and it's also appeared in official downloadable content for Sonic Forces on in-game t-shirts.
I love that fucking thing.
Is that why you've just been laughing this whole time?
Yes. Anything that gets, I will say this, anything that ends up in Microsoft Paint, obviously I'm going to love. Probably
is
not.
Is that because you're a Microsoft fanboy, or just because it's Microsoft Paint?
It's Microsoft Paint. Microsoft Paint has been around. Nobody even knows it exists. Then when they try to take it away, everybody boycotts and gets mad, so they give it back to you. Nobody makes anything good in Microsoft Paint, and all we get is...
They make Sonic.
Yeah, all they make is Sonic Hedgehog. That is all we ever get from Microsoft Paint. And it'll be around for another 50 years, and anytime they try to close it down, everybody will yell, "How dare you?"
Yeah, if there's not a Sonic the Hedgehog reference in this movie, I'm going to walk out very upset.
Yeah. The other one that I really like is whenever they use the Sonic popsicles that have a little...
Oh, yeah. Ice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That melt?
Yes.
The ones that melt?
Yes. The Sonic the Hedgehog franchise was awarded 7 records by Guinness World Records in the Guinness World Records Gamer Edition in 2008, which included best-selling game on the Sega systems, longest-running comic based on a video game, and best-selling retro game compilation for Sonic Mega Collection. And in the Guinness World Records Gamers Edition 2010, the Sonic the Hedgehog series was listed as number 15 out of the top 50 video game franchises.
So we'll say, one, it's still amazing when we think about this because of what has happened to Sega, to be honest, and Sonic. It's kind of been a weird, like, almost parallel thing because we have, like, the Genesis, and you talk about Sega systems. We don't have a Sega system anymore. Sonic was more popular than Mickey Mouse. Then he kind of died down. He's still around, obviously, but then the games and everything, they've kind of gone into, like, you're now just part of an Olympic Mario Party knockoff game. And the fact that it's still top 15 out of 50, despite probably really hasn't had a decent game of relevancy, like, at least standalone in how many years? At least 10 to 15? Overall, it's been fascinating.
I think Sonic was just one of those things that got into people's consciousness, and I think as you move into, like, the next but why, though, I think one of the reasons it has such a hold on, like, especially how, like, we Americans see stuff, because, like, I'm gonna be, like, completely honest, I never knew Sonic was, like, a Japanese-made game. I thought it was an American game for a really long time. Like, I just thought it was, like, one of the things we put into the world.
And I thought it was, too. I was very surprised. Like, the first thing you said, I was like, what? Huh? Well, I guess it makes sense. Like, the console who made it. But I just didn't ever think it was anything else but just America.
I didn't either. And there was a reason for that. So, Sega wanted Sonic to have strong Western appeal. So Sonic Team created a backstory similar to the characters created by Disney, Marvel, Hanna-Barbera, and Sanrio. Oshima developed a backstory with heavy American influence, and in Oshima's story in the 1940s, there was a pilot whose peers nicknamed him Hedgehog, and his jacket's embroidery contained an emblem with a hedgehog. A pilot married a children's book author who wrote a story about a hedgehog based on the pilot, and according to Oshima, the story was based on the basis of the original Sonic the Hedgehog, and the title screen is based on the pilot's emblem. So when localizing the original Sonic the Hedgehog, Sega of America was given very little background information regarding the game's lore by Japanese developers, and then distributed an internal document that contained its localized history and overall philosophy for Sonic. Known colloquially as Sonic the Hedgehog Bible, the 13-page document went through multiple drafts. One established that Sonic was from a family of hedgehogs that lived under a hedge in Hardley, Nebraska, and joined the town's track team after a coach noticed his speed. Later drafts abandoned this story altogether, instead stating that Sonic learned his abilities from other forest animals. However, all three drafts established that Eggman was benevolent and crafted Sonic's red sneakers before he became evil in a freak accident involving a rotten egg. The Sonic Bible and little lasting influence on the franchise, although it heavily informed the writers of Sonic the comic. The Japanese developers eventually integrated their backstory concepts in the games, rendering the Sonic Bible non-canon. And so when we really see this outside of the video games coming into American consciousness, and how one of the, honestly, the big reason why I knew Sonic, because I didn't have these systems. In 1992, Sega approached ABC about producing a syndicated show for after-school audiences, as well as a Saturday morning cartoon based on Sonic. The two cartoons, The Syndicated Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which came out in 1993, and ABC's Sonic the Hedgehog, which came out in 1993 and ended in 1994, were produced by, is it Dick?
Yes.
Was produced by Dick Entertainment.
I mean, there's just, like, a lot of ways you could have gone there. Like, you could have just said DIC Entertainment. I think you just wanted to say Dick, I think is what I'm getting out of this. Is that Dick?
What?
This is a children's character, ma'am.
When I was little, I used to laugh and say Dick every time the credits rolled on any of their entertainment. So, Dick also produced a Sonic Christmas special in 1996 and Sonic Underground, which ran from 1989 to 2000, to tie in the release of Sonic Adventures. In all three series, Sonic was voiced by Jaleel White. Urkel! It makes me so happy. And it makes me really sad that he isn't voicing Sonic in the movie, actually.
Wait, I did not know that. Also, why isn't he voicing him in the movie? Not like he has a lot going on. He was in a Super Bowl commercial. Like, what else has he done other than that? That's actually very sad. If you're also wondering what DICS stand for, it's Diffusion Information Communications. Who's doing the voice of Sonic in the movie?
Ben Schwartz.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
The worst.
That's kind of... I mean, that's fine, I guess. But also, you just got Jamil White.
So, Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog comprised of 65 episodes that were all overseen by Ren and Stimpy director Kent Butterworth. And featured slapstick humor in vein of Looney Tunes. I put scenes and openings from all of these in our show notes. So if you're a Patreon patron, at just $1, you can get access to all this stuff. Or you can Google it. Do whatever you want. And then the 26th episode, Sonic the Hedgehog, was inspired by Batman the Animated Series. And it featured a bleak setting in which Eggman had conquered the world while Sonic was a member of a resistance force that opposed him. The series was canceled after 2 seasons. Then you have Sonic Underground, which was supposed to last for 65 episodes, but they only produced 40. The series follows Sonic and his siblings Manic and Sonia, who use the power of music to fight against Eggman and reunite with their mother.
See, I'm glad this guy canceled. Just sounds awful.
Then you have Sonic Boom, which was a computer animated series produced by Sega and Genao Productions, which premiered on Cartoon Network in 2014, and it features a satirical take on the Sonic mythos, and the franchise's cast was redesigned for it. And there were anime, but I didn't include them because when you look at it, they did a fraction of the numbers and continually tanked in the ratings in Japan. So, all that is to say, they made it a very American character for American audiences.
Now, was there a musical?
No,
there
wasn't. Is there
a Sonic on Ice?
There isn't.
There actually should be a Sonic on Ice. I'm actually disappointed there's no Sonic on Ice.
I'm surprised by that one.
I looked it up assuming that there would be a musical, and I couldn't find anything. There are fan-made musicals as Sonic? Well of Sonic. They're awful. And then in trying to find a Sonic the Hedgehog the musical, I found a fan recreation of the first trailer, and it's horrifying.
So what you're telling us is the internet was a mistake.
Yes. All right. Yes.
Let's keep going here.
Then you also have the comics. So Sonic the Hedgehog, there was a Sonic the Hedgehog manga series in 1982 written by Kenji Terada and illustrated by Sango Norimoto. And the Sonic manga followed a sweet but cowardly young hedgehog named Nikki, whose alter ego was a cocky and heroic Sonic. The longest running Sonic publication, however, is a 290 issue Sonic the Hedgehog comic, which was published by Archie Comics and ran from 1993 until 2017 continuously. So the reason that is actually a very big thing is you have comic books like Detective Comics, Action Comics, stuff like that are in the thousands. They've stopped and then been republished multiple times, and so that's usually what happens with comics. Not for Sonic, though. Archie also published a number of spin-offs, including Knuckles the Echidna and Sonic Universe. At the beginning, Archie's comic drew its premise from Sonic the Hedgehog television series, with Sonic and a resistance force fighting the dictator Eggman. Originally written as a straightforward and lighthearted action comedy, Sonic the Hedgehog became more dramatic when Ken Penders began writing it on issue 11. At the time of its cancellation, Archie's Sonic the Hedgehog was the longest running American comic book to never be relaunched, and in 2008 it was recognized by the Guinness World Records. While Archie planned to publish at least 4 issues beyond 290, in January of 2017 the series went on an abrupt hiatus until before Sega announced it was ending its business relationship with Archie and sold it to IDW. IDW Sonic began in April of 2018, and although the creative teams from the Archie series, such as Flynn, returned, the IDW series was set in a different continuity. Flynn said the IDW series differs from Archie Comics in that it draws from the games for stories, with the first story arc being set after the events of Sonic Forces. Sonic the Comic, Sonic the Comic was a British comic published by Fleetwood Publications, and it lasted for 223 issues from 1993 to 2002. And then,
before that, can you read the names of the contributor to that series? Because that sounds like the most British of all names.
Oh my gosh, I wasn't British, or I'm not British, so I didn't know if they were important names.
I mean, but I could be wrong, but they sound very British.
Contributors of the series include Richard Elson, Nigel Kitching, Andy Diggle, and Nigel Dobbins.
Yeah, those aren't American names. I'm surprised you didn't call Richard Elson Dick Elson.
Fun fact, I also used to laugh after Law and Order when it would put Dick Wolf on the screen.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I did every time. Kind of still do. It's okay. Now, the reason we're talking about it, the live action film.
Oh boy.
So, efforts to adapt Sonic began in 1994 when Sega of America signed a deal with MGM Pictures and Trilogy Entertainment to produce a live action animated film to tie in with Sonic Extreme. Yes, it's spelt just like you think, X-treme.
This is 1994, of course it is.
In 2013, Sony Pictures Entertainment acquired the film rights to Sonic the Hedgehog, and in June 2014 announced it would produce a Sonic film as a joint venture with Marza Animation Planet. In February 2016, CEO Hajime Satomi stated that the film was scheduled for 2018. Blur Studios' Tim Miller and Jeff Fowler were hired the following October to develop the film. Fowler would make his feature directorial review debut, while both would executive produce. And in October 2017, Paramount Pictures acquired the rights after Sony put the film into turnaround. However, most of the production team remained. The film is written by Patrick Casey and Joss Miller and follows Sonic, who is voiced by Ben Schwartz, as he journeys to San Francisco with a small-town cop, James Marsden, so he can escape Eggman, played by Jim Carrey, and collect his missing rings. Additional cast members include Tika Sumter, Adam Pally, and Neil
Neil McDick.
Sonic was initially redesigned so he would be more realistic, with fur, new running shoes, two separate eyes, and a more human-like physique.
That went over well.
The production team used Ted the Living Teddy Bear from the Ted films as a reference to insert CGI characters into a real-world setting. And as we all know, unless you lived under a rock, Sonic's redesigns were met with heavy backlash, and it was criticized for not resembling the one from the games and described as evoking an uncanny valley type sense of repulsion from viewers. As such, the design was revised so it would better resemble the original. And Paramount originally scheduled Sonic for November 8th of 2019, and now it is coming out on Valentine's Day 2020.
And fun fact, they also fired that entire team that redid it all.
They did.
Yeah, it's...
They said, good job on the redesign. We all like it, but now we're closing down production studio and you're all fired.
That is exactly what happened. Also, the only thing I was creeped out about with the redesigned Sonic was the teeth.
The teeth thing
was... human teeth were weird.
The human teeth were kind of weird. But then everybody on the internet got a hold of them, and that made it awful.
Yeah.
So for the third time this episode, the internet was a mistake.
Yeah. So the teeth were definitely weird, and I was like, I don't get this. But then the internet had fun with those teeth, and I was like, this is terrifying.
Yeah, the teeth are bad. It's just too anthropomorphic. It just looked weird. It just looked weird. But also, I don't know, man. I mean, the redesign looks better, but I think he just looked like a man in a Sonic costume. His chest was huge. His eyes, I don't know, the teeth. It's very scary.
Did you want him with big arms again?
Yeah. I think it would have been better if he had big arms, actually. Give him big arms. I think that might have been better.
I do like the Riri design. I mean, obviously, is it perfect? No, but compared to what we had, I think it's really good. I think out of all the Sonic stuff we've seen, I don't know. I think it looks good. I feel bad for that team because I think they did a fantastic job redoing that stuff.
And then they got fired or laid off, technically, because their entire studio went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird though, right? But like you have this thing from 1991, you have all this stuff. They did all that work on the first design of it and no one was like, "Hey, this doesn't look good."
That was
people are going to hate
that
this.
That was my question.
That is a real weird.
That was my question of like, it took you 25 years to come up with this.
Yeah, like people are going to hate this. And you know people are going to hate this because internet is a terrible place. And it was even worse because like as soon as it came out, like there were again, fan art stuff that was better than like the actual design. And I'm like, you could like if you would have just tested the design out with anybody who played Sonic, they probably could have told you that this was a bad idea from the start to design it like that.
Yeah, except that was probably my biggest issue was like Adrian said, they had 25, almost 30 years of Sonic and that's what we got. I feel bad for that team, but I think they did a great job.
Now we put team through a bunch of stuff, and we're all going to forget in 2 weeks when the movie comes out. And it's going to be fine, and it's going to do well, hopefully.
I am really excited to... Oh my god, what is that?
That's the Sonic original design, but he has no hair on his arms.
I hate that more.
Yeah.
All right, well, close it up so we can... Do we want to talk about this movie now real fast, or do we want to go to your...
Yes, I want to... Okay. I want to talk about the movie mainly because, like, outside of how bad Sonic looked, I do want to say, like, the first time I saw that trailer in theaters, I think it was during Detective Pikachu, Jim Carrey looks phenomenal as Eggman.
He looks weird because everybody's supposed to have tiny little legs and tiny little arms and big bodies in the Sonic thing.
Well, those are unrealistic body expectations, Matt. I guess it's also just like he looks really good, but it's also like I expect nothing less from Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I don't know who else I'd want playing him. I don't know, maybe Zach Galifianakis, because I think he'd be a good Eggman. Maybe.
I've been okay with that. I think he's might have been a little...
I'd be all right.
Might have been a little weird. I guess it's weird because we're used to Eggman towering over Sonic, but also like there's no other people, and now they're like in San Francisco with people, so I don't know how that would have been size-wise. Or height-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I hope it's good. I hope every video game movie is good, because if a video game movie is good, that, like, gives us room for other video game movies to be good.
Yeah.
And it's just better for us as, like, a fandom to have video game movies do well. So they get taken more seriously and we get more of them in the future.
No, I'm excited. I'm actually, like I said, I wasn't that excited. I understand why. I didn't know why we made the movie. Then we had the first trailer. I was kind of like, what the hell is this? Don't care. And then we saw the redesign and then the new trailer is kind of like, I think Kate said when we saw some other ones, especially the newest ones that came out, I'm like, I'm kind of excited to go see this movie. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it looked cool. Jim Carrey actually looks, like you said, pretty good, despite, you know, he doesn't have tiny little legs. But I don't know. It looks promising, at least to an extent. I don't think it's going to win any awards or blow people's minds, but I think it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I really kind of like what Adrian said. I want it to be good because I do think that there are a lot of video games that could be really fun movies. But also to Matt's point, maybe we need new movies. But also, I want video game movies.
Well, I mean, fair, if we're going with new movies, at least if you're going to pick a new movie, it's something like we don't have this before.
Yeah, like a video game that hasn't been adapted.
Like I mean, much as cool if we get another Lara Croft movie or something else, but like we're going on like now the fourth movie of that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we keep talking about this Uncharted movie. Like, I just don't even care anymore because we've had 25.
That movie is never gonna get.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like I just don't even care anymore. Like, screw it. Just give me a Sonic movie. I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of.
I want a Kirby movie.
Oh my god, that'd be my terrifying. Brain. Oh, man.
It would be Lanta. So good.
But now...
That would be absolutely terrifying.
But we do know
what
they are.
What if they try to make Kirby look like a human?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But we've done a few episodes from the past year with video games that there are movies coming. Apparently, we have a terrible skeleton of a Gears of War movie that's possibly coming. We have a terrible, terrible skeleton of a Borderlands movie that's coming. I mean, we have movies that are coming, but it is weird of like...
So I think that we should get video game movies that have nothing to do with story. Like, as much as, like, yeah, I gave you a breakdown of some story from the Sonic movies, that doesn't matter. What matters to Sonic is yellow rings, platforming, and how the character looks.
Oh, no,
and
I mean,
I think if we did those types of things, it would be really good.
No, I'm not opposed to that. I guess it's hard. I guess it depends on the game. Because, like, even, like, as much as I played all the Sonic games, I know the bad people, I know the good people, or whatever animal and furry bat, whatever they are going to be in this game, like... I couldn't tell you half the story. I know they're in a weird city that's a futuristic with robots that's being overtaken by a man who calls himself Eggman. I couldn't tell you anything else. Yeah. But then, like, versus, like, when we go, like, we talk about some of these other movies we're getting of, like, Gears has an entire universe written out. Borderlands has almost an entire universe written out of, like...
Yeah.
And then... But, I mean, we are getting, I guess, Mortal Kombat, which I believe we'll probably end up doing an episode this year on that, with that movie coming, to where, like, as much as there's a ton of stuff, I think it depends on what game you pick. Like, if there's games that, like, yeah, there's mechanics and gameplay that we know and love and story just happens to be there, I think you can do it. But some of these new, like, more intricate, I guess, immersed games, like, you know, even if we try to do, like, a God of War movie, I just don't know how much you could just do, like, let's just throw some mechanic stuff together that's from the video game versus, like, I got a Bible of stuff.
I think that that is what helps the newest Lara Croft movie was because it was working in a revamped universe already and it stayed fairly faithful to that revamped universe, other than that it didn't go full-on mystical. But that being said, I stand by my position. I want a live-action Kirby movie.
Oh my God. I mean... And this is why the internet is a terrible place.
What animation do we get when Kirby, like, opens his mouth trying to suck somebody in?
Dude, it's going to look terrifying. He's going to, like, literally eat people.
Not even, like, eating. He's just going to suck them up.
You know what? This sounds just like my movie. Because it's a cute little pink thing that turns into a giant horrific thing that eats other things. That's, like, my brand.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's tough. I think, because if you have, like, Detective Pikachu, which is a really, really good video game movie, I think. But it's also, like, such off kilter from, like, what the actual thing is. But we don't really have... It's hard to do that. Like, you can't do that with, like, a... I don't know, a Gears movie. If you don't put Phoenix in it, no one's going to go watch it.
Yeah. I feel like it almost...
And for Sonic, you have to put Sonic in the movie. You can't do, like, some one-off thing with Knuckles. Like, you have to do Sonic in some form or capacity. So I think it's a little bit harder for those to be made, but... I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I feel like it also helps if something already exists in multiple pieces of media, because, like, I never played Detective Pikachu. I just know Pokemon from watching the cartoons and collecting cards as a kid. So for me, I was able to walk into that movie and not even think about how different it was from the game. So I think if you have something like Sonic or Kirby that everybody just kind of knows about, it helps. It that barrier of entrance is so much lower that there's a higher percentage chance of it actually succeeding.
Yeah, and that's why
there's going to be a lot of people.
And that's why we keep getting all these reboots and remakes and stuff, because of this low barrier. If we just put something that's familiar, we have no actual idea what we're doing. But Detective Pikachu, from my understanding, I could be wrong, but wasn't its own, it was just its own even self-contained thing anyways?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, Easter eggs and stuff, but it's pretty much just its own thing.
Well, I mean, even, like, wasn't the game, like, its own, like, self-contained, like, story per se? It never had really anything to do with all the rest of Pokemon universe.
Yeah. I mean, you're just Detective Pikachu. Yeah, it's not like a... Yeah, you're not like... It's not like Ash's Pikachu.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like the rest of the actual Pokemon universe.
Or is it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I know people apparently want a second one.
There has to be a theory out there that has that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Detective Pikachu was a good example, but it is, like, in a sense, it's still a self-contained story within a giant universe that doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, I love Kirby, but, like, it's just terrifying to
Kirby
think.
Kirby 2023, so they have enough time to animate it.
How much do you need to animate a pink blob with smaller pink blob feet?
How hard is it to animate a blue hedgehog with big shoes?
He has red feet, sir.
It's very, very hard to animate stuff, apparently.
Just take the blob from the 80s turn it pink, put some shoes on it.
That's like even more disastrous.
Give it a face.
Can we just like a Mortal Kombat movie, but just Super Smash Brothers, and like just let Kirby fight Sonic, but do it like in like a horror movie style where like people are actually dying. So Sonic is, or like Kirby's like literally like ingesting these people.
So one, there's a Pokemon show that's from like weird anime like RTX type people thing that is like the 80.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I don't know if it's come out yet, but like we saw it at RTX last year where it was like they made Pokemon, but in a real sense of like,
yeah,
violence, war.
It was
The manga is violent as hell. Like Venusaur literally vine whipping people in half.
Yeah,
I'm with it.
Basically, we got that, but they turned it into an actual like, TV like cartoon, anime cartoon.
Yeah,
I'm with it.
It was very disturbing in ways, but it was also very cool. But anyways,
anyway.
I guess final thought. You want to do final thoughts, I guess?
No, yeah.
Okay. I guess my final thoughts for Sonic. I've always liked Sonic. I grew up playing a lot of the Sonics. I still will always love my Dreamcast, and Dreamcast is always overshadowed, and the best Sonic game is on Dreamcast, and the best system is always a Dreamcast. But obviously, sadly, it wasn't one of those I grew up and just kind of forgot about it, like we talked about with Ninja Turtles and all this stuff. It was more of, or Power Rangers, it was more of Sonic got bad. And I will stand by that. Because you can probably argue the other ones probably didn't get necessarily bad. They just kind of happened. But this one, I will fairly say they're bad. But I'm excited for this movie. Should be interesting to see. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a new Sonic game outside of, like, whatever the Olympic Games. And I know it feels like we've kind of banged on them a little bit, but it's one of those, like, they're just, when I think of Sonic games, I don't think of like, oh, you're doing the vault or something. Yeah. So I don't know, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I mean, if the movie ends up being well, we might get a new game, but I'm not gonna hold my breath for anything. But no, Sonic does hold a spot, and I always enjoy the older stuff.
For me, I mean, I just hope the movie does well, because there is, like, a lot of, like, lore and stuff here. I mean, I didn't play a lot of the video games, obviously, but the TV show was good. The TV show had good stories, and this is definitely a realm where you could kind of do multiple movies and bring in all these kind of characters and things like that. But also, if it's just, like, a one-off movie that lets us get other good video game movies, I'm okay with that. I haven't played the games in years. I don't know if I ever will again, unless something crazy happens, because it doesn't seem like the last ones have been that good. But my faith is in the movie to do well, so we can get more things like this. And I hope this doesn't take 25 years for us to get it again.
Yeah, I'm excited if we get, like, finally get a Knuckles and Tails and Amy and everything.
Yeah, they throw Knuckles in there, Tails in there, throwing Shadow in there, you know, like the Mechasonic thing would be cool too to see. There's just cool stuff that you can put on, like, a big screen that I think people would show up for. But this first movie has to do well. Then, like, just stop firing your animating teams.
We have to pay them first so they don't go bankrupt, so then you fire them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just excited. I'm really excited for the movie. I think he looks adorable now. I'm just excited for it, really. I mean, I've kind of already said my final thought. I'm interested. Actually, this is probably, like, the first time I'm interested to know what my brother thinks about a movie, because, like, my brother loved, like, Kirby and Sonic were, like, my brother's, like, things. Saying the word thing a lot this episode, but, like, they were, like, my brother's character, so it would be really interesting for me to kind of, like, see what he thinks about it. But yeah, that's it. Thank y'all for listening. Let us know what you think about the Sonic movie. And as always, you can follow us at ButWhyThoughPC on all of our social medias, and you can follow me on Twitter at OMMethrandier. Adrian?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReeze93, SuperRuiz93.
Matt?
I'm going to go look at Tony Hawk and see the parallels and see what we get.